Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, America, and the rest of the international community. It is 11 a.m. on the East Coast, and we are certainly digging out from underneath a barrel of a storm. My particular area picked up 3 feet of snow, but I'm not here to talk about that today. We're going to talk about something much more important and much more inviting for freedom lovers worldwide than the weather today. My name is Dakota Lone Star, and this is Radio Cantankerous. Remember, you can visit us online at www.40and28forever.weebly.com and follow me on Facebook as Dakota Lone Star with three A's, or on Twitter as DOC_OTA Lone Star. That's DOC_OTA Lone Star on Twitter. All right, thank you so much for joining me today. Not only is this our inaugural episode, but today's subject matter is one of grave importance. Unfortunately, having a computer glitch here. All right, unfortunately, there exists a rather large flock of carrion parading about as freedom fighters the world over. Rather than carrion, I should have said, quote-unquote, enlightened people, if you will, that are unable, for whatever reason, enamored or otherwise, that are unable to see the forest for all of the trees. A damnable travesty, if you ask me. In fact, I find the behavior that we are about to cover treasonous. Now, one would think, or even hope, that America's first, quote-unquote, black president would champion freedom in its truest form. Not so. And the tragedy is over half of America missed it. And another 20% are, in fact, complicit where treason is concerned. What do Nakula Basali Nakula, Dinesh D'Souza, and allegedly even the director Michael Bay have in common? They've all three been leaned upon by our dearest sweetheart of an inner onion, Barack Hussein Obama. What? Well, speak up, child. I can't hear you. Oh, I see. You actually believe that either Hillary Clinton or Susan Rice was the brainchild behind the initial narrative that the attackers were acting out of outrage based on an anti-Islamic film created by an Egyptian-born Coptic Christian residing in the United States of America. And what if they were? What if the attack on our embassy, an act of war, by the way, was because of a film or other form of art? The difference between a civilized people and, well, savages has become crystal clear the last few years, particularly during the point in world history of number 44, the beloved savior of many. The difference between a civilized people and, well, savages has become crystal clear the last few years. Basically, anyone that is willing to physically attack or murder someone over any art form, or art form in any form, rather, is, well, a clear and present danger. And are examples of individuals incapable of controlling his or her person whenever they feel insulted. Now, while the modern world is next to consumed by what is trending on Twitter, I've spotted an actual trend that is, in fact, a danger to freedom itself. A scrubbing of opposing voices that were once trending. A clone-onialism, if you will, whereby not only Nakula Basali Nakula of the quote-unquote free world is being sinned against, but also larger voices like those of Dinesh D'Souza, and allegedly even Michael Bay are being actually leaned upon, as opposed to primarily perceived threats like Islamophobia prior to much savagery in Europe and in North America, where even one family is concerned and one set of friends. All right, which is something that liberals have trouble understanding, to be sure. All right, so I'm actually going to play some clips today from 2012 in Barack Hussein Obama's address before the United Nations 2 weeks to the day after the attack on our embassy in Benghazi, Libya. So I'm going to cover some of those clips with you, and then I'm going to make some comments, and then I'm going to provide the phone-in number or call-in line as well. And we're going to go ahead and start with the first clip from said speech. And it's interesting because they opened up the floor on September 25th, 2012, to Barack Hussein Obama as His Excellency. I thought that was kind of interesting. Rather than the President of the United States, Barack Hussein Obama, they said, let us please welcome His Excellency, Barack Obama. Okay. All right. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go ahead and play some of these feeds for you now, one of which is coming on right now. And actually, one moment. I'm going to let that scrub through and replay it. Here you are. Take a listen to this. Take a gander into this one, if you will. Here we are. Barack Hussein Obama.
The attacks on the civilians in Benghazi were attacks on America. We are grateful for the assistance we received from the Libyan government and from the Libyan people.
Okay, sir. Assistance in terms of investigations after the heinous murders of our Americans, Mr. President, because there wasn't any meaningful assistance prior and or during the attacks, savage attacks on September 11th, 2012, sir. All right, so we're going to jump to another cut here. Again, these are all going to be, there's just so much to, I poured over some of these takes this morning, and I'm thinking about running a series of programs soon covering the overall posturing of our president before the United Nations on September 25th, 2012, because there's just so much to get to. But I'm going to go and just play a few for you. So I'm going to run another clip here for you. All right, here we go.
If we are serious about these ideals, we must speak honestly about the deeper causes of the crisis, because we face a choice between the forces that would drive us apart and the hopes that we hold in common.
All right, sir, you mean the forces that would rather the infidel were dead and true freedom, between the forces that wish physical harm upon the infidel the world over and true freedom, right, Mr. President? That's the choice that really needs to be made at this point. Not perceived threats like Islamophobia prior to bringing in your widows and orphans, sir, but after having brought them in. You know, the individual families that have been sorely affected eternally speaking and will not spend future holidays with loved ones, individual loved ones, individual families, and individual sets of friends. All right. So now I'm going to go ahead and play another clip for you. This is take 9. Check this one out. This is pretty good, too. All right, here we go.
It's been less than 2 years since a vendor in Tunisia set himself on fire to protest the oppressive corruption in his country. It sparked what became known as the Arab Spring. And since then, the world has been captivated by the transformation that's taken place.
Wow. Okay. All right, here we go. So the transformation that's taken.
2 years. That's a vendor in Tunisia. Set himself on fire.
Sorry. All right. So, Scooby Snack. A demonstrator setting him or herself on fire, is transformation worthy of the world's attention? Okay, maybe, perhaps for those that are still washing their hair in camel urine, but not for those of us that seek an oasis in the desert like Israel. Okay, all right. And soccer fields on which Muslim and Jewish children can enjoy the game of soccer without explosives. Okay, yes, I did just go there. All right, so now let's jump to number 10, because this is a really interesting point as well. I'm going to jump to take number 10. Here we go.
We supported a transition of leadership in Yemen because the interests of the people were no longer being served by a corrupt status quo.
All right, sir. So rather than straight out of Compton, you just began to scratch our rally cry, God's rally cry, actually, the cry of the Christian church itself, sir. You just began to scratch the surface of freedom in your last take, if you will. No longer, sir, will we, the church, remain silent when it comes to individual rights. Whether the right of an African woman or child to pursue individual happiness in Africa, or the rights of an atheist in the United States to express his or her viewpoints in a peaceable manner, or in a peaceful manner. Newsflash, neither you nor we penned the original narrative freedom. As history would have it, in my opinion, the modern thinker would consider adverse to any real sense of decency, this narrative of freedom that you speak to, and a corrupt status quo, if you will, is actually leading the United States of America down a slippery slope. It's as if the American people are blind to the fact that a slip and slide, yes, I'm dating myself, and perhaps even aging myself, but, you know, the liberal establishment is such an interesting beast, because it's like they took the most sheer cliff in the United States of America that we could find, and they laid out a slip and slide, and they've greased it up with a ton of false olive oil, if you will, and just put it right up. The end is right against that sheer cliff with a, you know, a 2,000 or 3,000 foot drop. So in the name of modern peace, if you will. All right. So that was kind of fun doing my best Scooby voice there. Anyway, all right, so moving on from there, I think I am going to go to take number 13. And again, the beloved half-like savior and or rock star of the world.
Often they arise from the difficulties of reconciling tradition and faith with the diversity and interdependence of the modern world. In every country, there are those who find different religious beliefs threatening.
Okay, I'm going to stop that right there. I'm going to go ahead and this is my first program on Blog Talk Radio as Dakota Lumster. Actually, I scrapped a couple of older programs I wasn't happy with, but this is the first official program, and I'm going to go ahead and pull a Mark Levin there for you. Let's go ahead, and which is very cool. I really enjoy Mark, by the way, but I am going to restart
every culture.
13. Hold on for you.
That's an excuse for people to burn a restaurant in Lebanon.
There we go.
And often they arise from the difficulties of reconciling tradition and faith with with the diversity and interdependence of the modern world. In every country, there are those who find different religious beliefs threatening.
All right, threatening. So let's define threatening. Maybe the Islama, those that coined Islamophobia are threatening without cause. Or there is a cause, that they're not healthy. Their religion isn't healthy enough to actually call out savages among them. If, in fact, Islam is a religion of peace, then call your peeps out. Call your people out. What's the problem there? What's the problem? I don't see the problem. You know, we have called out time and again the members of the Westboro Baptist Church, but it seems as if there's a lot of silence going around the Islamic microphone, if you will, lays silent for the most part. Not that you can't find your stories on Snopes, because I know you can. I know you can. But fact check this, Mrs. 57 states. All right, anyway, I'm going to have some really cool stuff. So let me play a little bit more of this take and see if it's worth burning the additional 3 minutes. Actually, you know what? I don't think the additional 3 minutes are going to be worth running through and burning my time, because I have a lot to get to during this program before passing along our phone-in number. Here you go. Take number 14.
It's an excuse for people to burn a restaurant in Lebanon or destroy a school in Tunis or cause death and destruction in Pakistan. In this modern world, with modern technologies, for us to respond in that way to hateful speech empowers any individual who engages in such speech to create chaos around the world.
Okay, so speech creates chaos around the world, bottom line. Freedom of speech. If you can't read between the lines, if you're not intelligent enough to pick up on that, freedom of speech is the devil in the details. So I thought that was pretty interesting as well. You know, to create chaos around the world. Oh, you mean like the chaos that Janjaweed created at Darfur, and Janjaweed, if you haven't studied them, is a sickening, repulsive, satanic, demonic clan of horsemen, often wielding swords and dismembering humans in a large portion of Africa to the tune of over 500,000 people. So the UN couldn't even take care of Janjaweed in terms of some strafing runs. No, we're not talking about carpet bombing the entire Middle East or turning it into glass, Mr. President, as you would suggest for your Nazi elite. We are talking about carpet bombing marauding devils on horseback, strafing, not carpet bombing, I'm sorry, strafing the horses and the riders. All right, so that's what we're looking at there. So let's look at, I wanted to look at a couple of other takes here, but we can do that in just a few minutes, because I really wanted to get into, actually I'm going to take a few of your calls, if we do have any callers at this point. But the guest call-in number is 929-477-4090. Again, that's 929-477-4090. And I'm perfectly okay with ending this show, nipping it in the bud, so to speak, ahead of its scheduled ending time for the sake of semblance and this particular collective message, if you will. All right, so let's get to a couple of things here. If the innocence of Muslims, a creation of Nicola Bisselli Nicola, an Egyptian-born Coptic Christian, is the fault of, or is cause for actual savagery to take place, then we've much bigger problems than a swastika being painted on a stone at the University of Missouri. Namely, just to name one example for you deluded folk that are now taken by Bernie Sanders, who has even quoted the Bible as of late, out of context again, California, out in California, a student on a UC campus was bludgeoned very nearly to death, and beat into a brain bleed and subsequent coma for being Jewish. Now, gosh, I'm just wondering where our Department of Justice was on that. Did they fire up an aircraft to fly whoever was our leading chair in terms of the Department of Justice, or the mouthpiece rather to the UC overlord, because, you know, gosh, someone walking around in a burqa, right? Okay, so some Americans haven't even seen that before, you know, in remote towns and villages and so forth. So they might stare. You know, it's a little bit different, you know, than what many are accustomed to, contrary to popular belief of the straight out of Compton wannabes of our suburbs and inner cities. Do I sleep with one eye open now? You're damn right I do. When I go to a mall, am I more aware of my surroundings? You're damn right I am. Again, that call number is 929-477-4090. Does that mean that I've painted Muslims into a corner? No, unequivocally untrue of us as conservatives. As a matter of fact, I have a friend from Iraq. We've been to Disney together, our families, Disney World, a couple of years back. And I seek basically every opportunity to bless others with differing religions and opinions or a lack of religion, if you will, which is can still act religiously as well, you know, like atheists and so forth. Now, there are atheists, and I just wanted to bring this up quickly around the nation, that realize, and rightfully so, that conservatives are now to get them. We are not Big Brother. We're not going to write laws that infringe upon your right to not believe something or anything for that matter. Go for it. As a matter of fact, most conservatives, all conservatives that I know, actually believe that your faith, if you will, as atheists, is worth dying for. And so I want you to be clear about that as atheists in the United States. Christians are not your enemy per se. Christians are not out to get you, and we are certainly not Big Brother. So basically, you know, if you look at what's happened in the United States since the 2009 Fort Hood massacre, and then the woman being beheaded in Oklahoma who had an individual family, Eureka, how sick is the man or woman that cannot weep for the individual that is carved out of this this stage of eternity, if you will, and then a set of loved ones can't enjoy 5, 10, 20, 40 more Christmases or holiday seasons, God forbid I say Christmas, with their loved ones, or friends that just wanted to meet for lunch, and how sick is the man or woman that has to put a number on mass shootings, like it has to be four or more. Well, I've got news for you. I did the math the other day. I spent about 3 hours on the Federal Bureau of Investigation's website looking at violent crime and murder statistics within these, the loosely United States of America. Well, actually, we could still refer to ourselves as the United States of America, except where our cesspool cities, in many cases, are concerned. Not altogether. Quote me in context, if you will, please. Do me the favor of not being a devil and stealing portions of this program or any other program that I choose to put forth going forward. All right, so basically, here's the thing. And I'm pretty sure it's multifaceted. You know, in 2008, Barack Hussein Obama, obviously America's quote-unquote first American, African-American president, right? Well, he's a poser. You know, you can't help that he's half black. I'm not sure if I dislike dislike the policies of his white half or his black half more. The white blood in him or the black blood in him in terms of disliking his policies. There have been two policies throughout his 8 years that Eureka, I agreed with, but everything else has just been an utter nightmare for this nation in terms of freedom of speech and freedom of religion, freedom to serve a holy God as a business owner. You know, if I were a homosexual, I would, and looking for a cake baker, if you will, I would actually look for someone else if they said, "I'm sorry, we're not gonna create a cake for your for your union, upcoming holy union, quote unquote." Just find another baker. You know, I wouldn't want someone to bake me a cake anyway. If I walked into a bakery tomorrow and said, "Hey, I'm celebrating 31 years of Christianity. Please make me a cake. My family wants to celebrate. I almost didn't make it to that beginning day, if you will, of actual freedom." You know, the type of freedom that espouses that the tree, as history would have it, history books and the Bible have it, that the tree of the forbidden tree, singular tree in the Garden of Eden, was put there so as not to create clones. See, my God wasn't into creating clones. So, yes, I would die for the individual rights of those that are not seeking to foist their beliefs on others in a violent or terrorizing tactile functionality, if you will, that we could. So here's the thing, you know, all right, so we think we're all the kiddies, you know, it's so funny because we have a university close by, George Mason University, and I just have to kind of laugh because I think Bernie Sanders made a stop there and he talked about marijuana for all, and the crowd went crazy. We couldn't actually have nothing could be possibly more important than marijuana for all in these United States of America, where a woman had her head lopped off, and you know, neither now nor the Freedom From Religion Foundation were up in arms for all that long, if at all. Kind of interesting, the schizophrenia in this nation, by and large, taking place on campuses of academia, if you will, or greater academia in their minds. You know, I get it. I get it that we're not inflammatory. Rhetoric doesn't necessarily help things. I do. I get that. I get it that the leader of the quote-unquote free world shouldn't go out of his way to purposefully offend peaceful participants of any movement, you know, if you will. But gosh, there's just so much in that speech. But I did want to talk about the fact that has freedom of speech and freedom of religion, they're closer than any conjoined twins, if you will, or identical twins, maternal identical twins, I believe. Freedom of speech and freedom of religion go hand in hand and cannot be separated, although except in the case of the atheist who still has, should have complete freedom of speech. But having said that, so now look, since 2008, what's happened? Islam has been not only coddled, but mysteriously is popping up in grade school curriculums around the nation, around the nation. And that's, I find that interesting, because where is the freedom from religion foundation when it comes to teaching the enforcement of Common Core, if you will, the enforcement of Common Core is not being inclusive and teaching historically about the Sikhs, for instance, around the nation, or atheism, or Christianity, God forbid, in your new modern America, which is really, really a dangerous place to be right now. Because, look, we have Nikola Bisseli Nikula, call it what you want, being placed under house arrest for a year or upwards of 2 years separating someone from society, and the particular judge that heard his case deemed him a danger to society for creating a film. Can I laugh yet, or should I cry, or should I see my doctor for Xanax at this point? Because, you know, over a movie that was far less crude than The Interview. Sony Pictures, The Interview. Now, here's what's interesting. The Interview is little more, if anything more, than a red herring or sleight of the hand on behalf of this particular administration. Sony Pictures held meetings, I'm sure, between their corporate elites, if you will, and they were looking to protect their people, you know, probably to even include the actors that acted in the film from actual violence versus perceived violence, which I covered a little bit, but we'll go into that greater in future weeks and future programs, because I think actual versus perceived threats are, that's an important subject, right? It should be, but they want to muddy the waters, and they want to stir that pot, leftist, Nazi, socialist America, the party of Nazi socialism in America. They want to muddy those waters so that, and see, here's the thing. If a judge says that Nikola Bisseli Nikola is a danger, a man that I need to go back and study him a little further, and he may even deserve his own biography or autobiography. Probably too afraid to write anything about himself at this point, after having been under house arrest for a couple of years, and I don't blame him. But I will say this much, that it's interesting, because not only was it proven untrue that actual savagery occurred because of a film, the narrative in and of itself is evil. The narrative that, because look, if that were true, the work of a certain artist, and I'd have to look up his name quickly and could, and perhaps I could have someone call and talk about that for a moment, at 929-477-4090, the work of the creator of Piss Christ, if Christianity weren't a religion of peace or a bastion of peace the world over, primarily speaking, would have seen a heinous collective crime like that which took place on September 12th of 2012, otherwise known as Benghazi. So, interestingly enough, I've never met a Christian that went out and beat someone and then sodomized them and then killed them. However, Ambassador Chris Stevens was finally done in, but I've never met a Christian. I've never heard of a Christian that reacted that way when the Piss Christ was released. As a matter of fact, the National Endowment for Arts. So it's interesting. Let me see if I have the take for you. Out of the same speech in which the president was, I need to try to find it here for you, but out of the same speech, let's see. I'm trying to think which take it would be here. But anyway, the president, you know, he was talking about being fair and speaking out against, you know, anyone that would desecrate a Christian symbol, and I believe he was referring to Piss Christ at that particular moment. I thought that was interesting, you know, that he brought that up. But he said, in order to be fair, that we should renounce and denounce, not denounce, because I think we should renounce the grant that was given to the creator of Piss Christ. The disparity is glaringly clear, apparent, if you will, in this nation of fools and founders, because founders are a revelation of construction rather than destruction and give me what's yours. All right, so anyway, so you've got this disparity. You have these disparities, just disparities abound. So we say, well, in order to be fair, we have to denounce, you know, the creation of artwork that desecrates images of Jesus Christ. And yet the National Endowment for the Arts, I think, gives the creator $20,000. Now, here's what I think. I think Christians should ask for a class action lawsuit against the government of the United States of America. And Barack wasn't president, in all fairness. Or number 44 wasn't, in all fairness, president at that point. I don't believe. I'd have to go back and research when the Piss Christ came out. But we should actually ask for the $20,000 back and then give it to Nikola Baselli Nikola, just based on his name alone, a man that as a young boy, perhaps in Egypt, witnessed firsthand the atrocities of radical Islam, Islamic terrorism and savagery firsthand against perhaps even loved ones and parents, and you know, and the fear that can instill in a child. Anyway, kind of like the fear that is instilled in of pure Americans when a professional football player from the National Football League beats his girlfriend or wife into a concussive state on an elevator, and then and then the women cry for the football player too. Women and men alike chime in. And there's another disparity for you. Chime in. and a call for the player to be reinstated. Wow. Welcome to the new America. How's that for women's rights? All right, look, so this particular administration, however, has leaned on three filmmakers. Count them. One, Nakula Bisoy Nakula. Two, Dinesh D'Souza, someone quite darker than I am in terms of skin tone, and roots in India. But there can be no racism where an American citizen or someone even residing in America, to the tune of Nakula Bisoy Nakula, even though they're darker and I'm supposed to hate my skin for standing up for them, somehow being a third generation American, after the Neem, you know, the Pinta and the Santa Maria brought over their first boatload of whitey. Anyway, that's a topic for another day. That we're supposed to hate our skin. I just wasn't aware of that growing up in South Dakota. That was the enlightened thing to do. But anyway. So this American, Dakota Lone Star, has stood up for MJ in the New Jersey case, MJ versus SDR, or the other way around. At any rate, a Moroccan woman was being abused physically, even sexually, by her assailant, and it was recorded in police stations and found to be true, the bruising of her genitalia. And I was one of the first people that stood up for her. And so we're just, oh, God, the middle-aged white man has to be done away with. You know, in order, we're the last, I'm gonna talk like Rush for a second, but my own verbiage. We're the last speed bump en route to a freer world. Anyway. All right. So number one, Nakula Bisoy Nakula's life was just completely upended for using an alias to create a film. Number two, Dinesh D'Souza, a judge deemed him quote-unquote dangerous. And another interesting take, if you will, on a viable, verifiably genius residing on American soil with morals. He found it interesting that, you know, that this president will go after tyrants in Libya, and it's funny because the same people that wanted to lynch, I can't use that word any longer because it's not politically correct, but wanted to lynch President Bush prior to the enlightened one's arrival. Those same people, another disparity again, blame everything on Bush. You know, it's interesting because I'm sure that more than a few Kurdish next of kin can testify with the blood crying out from the ground in Kurdish graves that Saddam Hussein was in fact using weapons of mass destruction, and 14 months to hide, sell, or cajole the IAEA and the United Nations, who evidently this summer is leading the charge to save the world from an alien attack in Independence Day resurgence. Woo! Yeah, it's going to save the United Nations and the IAEA that provided Saddam Hussein 14 months to hide or sell his goodies, which is something else that's interesting, even though allegedly they turned up or unearthed some of those weapons in the last, I want to say, like 4 to 6 months, mind you. But if not, go ahead and exhume the bones of Kurdish people and run your scientific hoobly-gob on them, on those on their body parts and see if their body parts don't contain illicit, illegal war tools of madmen. So, all right. So Dinesh D'Souza, he was back to the point. He was wondering why the rush to take out a leader like the Libyan leader, and not a rush to, and it's a sin to take out Saddam Hussein. So it's kind of a schizophrenia there, Mr. Michael Moore. And that's apparent to us, but not apparent to the American Nazi Socialist Party, ANSP. All right. So Dinesh D'Souza, a judge deems him dangerous, says you need to meet with a psychologist and or psychiatrist for an assessment because you are a danger to yourself. And the logical conclusion from there would be that you'd be a danger to someone else today based on suicide bombings. Ooh, ouch, burn. But then he met resurrected, as prescribed by the good doctor, our inner onion, the beloved number 44. I'm quite sure, because there are so many layers to this onion that it could not come from the inner onion. No. The inner onion's sweet and gravy to your porridge. But anyway, interestingly enough, so Dinesh D'Souza actually meets with this person or in the field of psychology, which provides a clean bill of health for Dinesh D'Souza. And then the judge says, no, we need you to see a second expert. So anyway, the second expert comes to the same conclusion, allegedly, and that this Dinesh D'Souza is, in fact, not a threat. And then and the judge, the hack judge, hold on. Then the hack leftist said, no, you have to see a third person, but, you know, someone of our choosing this time. Okay, so, all right, so there you have Dinesh D'Souza, and I think he's even been placed on community service. Okay, so let's just tie up the hands of the largest conservative documentary filmmaker of our time, in Dinesh D'Souza. Let's just gobble up some of his time with community service. As if a documentary can't be community service, except where Michael Moore is conserved. And I heard the man has 9 homes, I think, and he's an anti-capitalist. You have been played, quote-unquote, America. You've been played like the instrument of choice of a 9 or 10 or even 12-year-old virtuoso. Oh, goodness, I don't even know where to begin. Anyway, okay, back on point. So the third filmmaker, allegedly Michael Bay, received a visit from this FBI, or to the exclusion of the inner onion at this point right now. No. It's not an exception, folks. The third visit came from the FBI in terms of Michael Bay, and they wanted to ensure that the record was straight, that the official, redacted record is straight, because that's what Dems do. I mean, to me, that's even treasonous. Now, let's say that our government is planning an attack on a terrorist camp in Qatar. And let's say that within that memo, their next drone attack was an obscure African nation, within an obscure African nation. Now, but that attack hasn't occurred yet, or hadn't occurred yet. Now, I can see the need for blacking out the word drone attack of savage group in northeast Zimbabwe, if you will. So that's been harassing women and children and dismembering them and burning their one church because they're not a minority. Christians aren't a minority in the Muslim world, but who am I to draw that conclusion, not being a statistical advisor of a statistical czar within this administration, right? So basically, which is enough to make me want to vomit, because I'm quite sure that a peaceful, honorable man by the likes of Ben Carson is bright enough to surround him with people other than communist Muslim czars. All right. Anyway, so now we have this third, and did I just snuffle? Yes, I did. I am from South Dakota. I am a man that is not a chest bumper, and no, my son is not going to play middle linebacker for the Miami Dolphins if it's the last thing I do to prove that we have testicles. Sorry, but it went there. All right, look, I am Dakota Lone Star. You can visit us on the web at www.40and28forever.weebly.com. That's 40and28forever.w, E as in Echo, B as in Bravo, L as in Lima, Y as in Yankee.com. All right, look, I'm going to end this show pretty quick, but I do have a couple of other things to say prior to having done that, all right, prior to this illustrious ending. And again, the call-in number is 929-477-4090. Please feel free to call in. Please feel free to hit me up at the earlier stated website or look me up on Facebook at simply as, just search on Facebook, Dakota Lone Star. That's D-A-K-O-T-A space Lone Star. Or on Twitter as DOC_OTA Lone Star. All right, and this is going to be a lot of fun. This is going to be awesome fun. You got to check out the new memes I created on the front page. And a lot of rather slow people, spiritually speaking, and even intellectually not as bright as they might otherwise assume, are going to feel the collective burn of my narrative real soon in terms of my memes, my bumper stickers, my t-shirts, my radio programs, my video takes, my viral videos. It's going to be a lot of fun. All right, look, so let's talk about the last person that was leaned upon, okay? And I spoke to it briefly a couple of moments ago, that Michael Bay, allegedly Obama's FBI, wanted to make sure that the narrative was correct. But, hey, he's Michael Bay, so the director. And interestingly enough, Michael Bay carries more sway, and I'm a poet, whether I know it or not, Michael Bay carries more sway than Nakula Bensele Nakula. And, you know, it's interesting because one of the beneficiaries, if you will, next of kin and beneficiary, if you will, of a horrific loss in terms of Benghazi, individual loss, that's right. We as conservatives take individual loss seriously. Which is why we do hereby affirm that liberals just make the worst politicians, because they can't within the same breath, rather than holding separate conferences the same day or press conferences on, well, let's say, global warming and actual savagery in terms of, you know, a Kayla Mueller or the Jordanian pilot. God forbid I mention him as a white supremacist, right? That's a bunch of BS. Anyway, the Jordanian pilot that was burned to death, and then Jordan ran a couple of bombing missions the next day. Good for them. Probably more in one day, if we were to extrapolate or reverse extrapolate what the United States has done since Russia has taken the lead in the Middle East and Syria and Afghanistan, and or Syria and Iraq, rather. I don't know. Here we are, folks. Here we are. You know, white people are racist if they don't hate their own skin. And I'm married to a beautiful Latina that hails from the Caribbean. And I love that. For over 20 years now, I've hung out, by and large, with Latino folk, because I'm just such a prejudiced guy. I'm so bigoted, after all. I'm such a sexist that I help my wife with dishes as often as I can. I love vacuuming and stuff, you know. And no, I'm not a switch hitter. And no, I'm not part of your modern family. That's for damn sure. Because, number one, you, Nazi socialist American Party, need to have the ghosts of the Jews that were nearly annihilated. Those ghosts should be able to tape you to a chair with duct tape and force you to watch The Book Thief. And then thereafter, you would have to write a meaningful report. And then based on your grade, you could continue to live in the United States of America, where we are actually pro-freedom, individual pro-freedom. Even like I said, in the case of a Nikola Bisselli Nikola, who may have seen utter horror as a child and then went on to make a film that was much less crude, in my opinion, than The Interview. You know, as Christians, it's kind of funny, because I'm wondering why our POTUS, our conceder-in-chief, if you will, he's so adept when it comes to reading from the Bible, however out of context, on a quarterly basis on national television. And then Bernie Sanders tried to play that card about 60, 70 days back or so. Bernie Sanders was talking about being, you know, just hoeing that same row, being our brother's keeper, you know, like what's yours is mine and what's yours is mine kind of mentality. And and it's funny, because I'm not, you know, some Libby out there, some fluffball, or a bunch of fluffballs are gonna believe that I actually am stating that, or could somehow possibly state that our elected officials don't have the right to quote from the Bible. I am not saying that at all. Did you hear that? I am not saying that. As a matter of fact, I invite this president's or any president's chiming in occasionally from the Bible, if they so choose, as long as they're not attempting to legislate actual law that would foster any one faith, kind of like what's happening right now with Common Core and Islam. But hey. Hands off, hands off, you know, and again, I enjoy being kind and saying hello to my Muslim neighbors, and there are a lot of them in D.C. and Northern Virginia. There's really just a schmittload of Muslims in this area, and I would rather we were able to get along within the confines of our borders forever, because I'm such an Islamophobe, too. All right, look, there's a couple other things I want to get to today. Again, if you want to chime in, just phone 929-477-4090. I would love to take your call today. But I did want to get to a couple of other things today. I want to get to another take real quick for you, and this is take 15. And I have to actually pull it up, so just give me just a moment. I'm going to grab a drink, and I'll be right back with you. Thank you. You're listening to Radio Cantankerous on Blog Talk Radio. One moment. All right, so I'm going to play another take from His Excellency's, not my words, but the person that interviewed the president at the United Nations, who welcomed him to the podium on the United Nations floor, granting him the floor, referred to him as His Excellency. I'm going to go ahead here and play another piece for you from that speech. There's so much in there. I mean, I could break it down almost line by line, and Dakota Lone Star kind of hopes to do that in the future, but I have other things to get to in the near future that are more befitting. But here we go. Take number 15.
We empower the worst of us, if that's how we respond. More broadly, the events of the last 2 weeks also speak to the need for all of us to honestly address the tensions between the West and the Arab world that is moving towards democracy. Now, let me be clear. Just as we cannot solve every problem in the world, the United States has not and will not seek to dictate the outcome of democratic transitions abroad.
Except here at home with our filmmakers.
We do not expect other nations to agree with us on every issue.
Except here at home.
Nor do we assume that the violence of the past weeks or the hateful speech by some individuals represent the views of the overwhelming majority of Muslims.
Hateful speech.
Any more than the views of the people who produced this video represents those of Americans. However, I do believe that it is the obligation of all leaders in all countries to speak out forcefully against violence and extremism.
Okay, so that last part was of particular interest to me. To speak out forcefully. So how does that work again? Can you hear it there? Can you hear the boots? Can you hear the Nazi flags being unfurled? Can you hear the titanium heels of Nazi marching orders? Speak out forcefully. Okay, look, but we don't expect the world to embrace our values, but yet the president wants to speak for the world, our world, and he's done so quite clearly by ruling by fiat, by having one filmmaker under house arrest for upward of 2 years, a second filmmaker serving community service and having to spend God knows how many hours before three shrinks rather than one, and making sure that Michael Bay had all the facts. Or the producers and or writers of 13 Hours had all their ducks in a row before they launched their film. All right, so here's another thing I find interesting is Christians, we are called, and yes, I'm going to go there because it's, after all, this is America, the land of the home or the home of the free and the land of the brave, occasionally brave. I am going to go there. This movie, The Interview, right? It's a glaring example of sub-sophomoric humor, and to each his own. If you love The Interview, great. Good for you. But how is it that America's Nazi children, or the Nazi children among us, rather, among the United States citizens, among United States citizens, dispersed, and even mentally coerced into believing that it's okay to jail a filmmaker that didn't create child pornography for using an alias to create a film that was unpopular in the Muslim world. And perhaps even part of the portions or pockets of the free world saw the innocence of Muslims as offensive. Well, I find a lot of things today offensive, more now than ever before. It's interesting because here's what's interesting. there was a news story as of late that Muslims enrolled in a Catholic university or at a Catholic university, and they want the crucifixes taken down because it offends them. Well, the same power whereby you were granted the election to apply, you've the elective power to not apply to any particular institution, last time I checked, or you can leave the institution and possibly even America if even the sight of something, if you find it horrific, you know, or, you know, what's next? Are we going to have Muslim students who were not forced, like in their homelands, their home, almost collective homeland, or territorially speaking in the world over, the free world over, are we going to have lawsuits whereby Muslims in the United States are finding hack judges and saying that they're scarred for viewing a cross? You know, is that the America we want to go down? You know, here's what I think should happen tomorrow. Every atheist organization within the United States of America should go ahead and fly. Yeah, I don't know if they have a flag or not, but they should go ahead and fly their flag. Fly it proudly. Fly it as proudly as the LGBT flag. Covered Facebook photos of individuals of this modern world. Fine. Fine. In other words, conservatives don't have the time, the wherewithal at this point. The conservatives that are working, let's say 40, 50, 60 hours a week, right, that have a family at home, that are cleaning, that are running the kids to ball practice, that are whatever, you get the idea, that are busy, don't have the energy, they don't have either the energy or the time, the collective wherewithal, if you will, to give a rat's hiney or arstabula what you're doing behind closed doors. We don't care. I mean, deep down, you know, the Bible says the love of money will grow cold. Or not the love of money, the love of, our love would grow cold. I'm sorry. That love would grow cold. Well, I'm not going to lie. I feel a little bit jilted, but I'm not going to lose sleep by this particular administration's nonsense. But I'm not going to actually lose sleep over it. I'm going to sleep like a baby tonight by the grace of God in Christ Jesus. Oh, did I just go there? I just sinned against the modern America. All right. So, look. So, if, in fact, our beloved POTUS is a Christian, and if, in fact, Sony Pictures was looking out for the welfare of their employees and possibly even the players, on-screen players or actors, that's a pretty responsible thing to do. Because you don't know in today's world. Immediately transports us back to this difference between actual and perceived threats that I want to talk about in the coming weeks, months, and years. All right, a swastika on a rock versus a peace-loving Jewish student that was beat into a coma and almost died in California, and that didn't bring the troops in? You know, I'm going to have to go back and study that. Allegedly, I don't believe that this quote-unquote Justice Department, which is anything but, in many cases, except where the out-of-Compton cool people that are down with other people's property, in many cases, not altogether. I know some fine people in America's hoods. But let's talk about mass shootings for just a second, really quick. I digress. Let's talk about the leader of North Korea. Okay, look. He is a maniac. He is certainly not the brightest bulb on the international tree, probably even where the United Nations is concerned. Having said that, do I wish death upon him? Okay, as a Christian, I'm supposed to pray for my enemies. I don't do it as often as I should. Which that's for sure. I definitely don't do it as often as I should. But I have before, and it was awesome when I did. When I got down on my hands and knees and did listen to the Holy Ghost of God and prayed for enemies, I felt like a peace. It was just a peace that was beyond understanding. Anyway, so we've got three filmmakers since 2012, right? Basically the second term of the Anointed One. And by the way, I'm hoping that Chris Plant runs for president, but a majority of Americans are not even close to being intelligent enough to follow his lead. You know, all you have to do is throw like a 10-mile-an-hour ball that somehow makes it past the plate, you know, a curveball that you can see coming for a mile from a proverbial mile away that should be smashed into left field or between short and second, at least, if you have any semblance of reflexes whatsoever. You know, I just don't think it's cool but again, to each his own. Putting together a film like The Interview, which I believe is caustic and inflammatory, but still very much within the confines of freedom of speech and freedom of the press in terms of rolling figures and so forth. But it was a highly subpar, sophomoric attempt at humor. Anyway, God bless America. But actually, God save America. But anyway, so the president's like, no, you got to go forward with it. You know, Sony Pictures, you must go forward with The Interview, because after all, I am a promoter of freedom of speech. Really? Okay, so place a guy under house arrest by the name of Nikul Desai Nikula. You foist community service, probably the tune of hundreds of hours, upon one of America's probably second generation or even first generation Indian Americans from the continent of India. You foist community service on that person, and then you lean on Michael Bay, and then you wonder why intelligent Americans don't trust this government, don't trust this particular administration. All right, I'm going to kind of close with that. Haven't seen any calls today. I believe for future reference, the call number will remain the same at 929-477-4090. You can follow me on blogtalkradio.com/Dakota Lone Star. This is Radio Cantankerous. I am Dakota Lone Star, and you can, like I said, visit me online. Some really awesome new memes. I don't care if you share, for I'm fair. The memes on that particular page at www.40and28forever.weebly.com, which will be morphing into www.40and28forever.com over the course of the next, hopefully, 72 hours, perhaps even 4 days, upwards of 4 to 5 days, now that I own that.com. Anyway, it's been fun, and I'm going to go ahead. I woke up with a sore throat this morning, and I'm going to go doctor that a little bit with some warm tea. And I'm hoping God save America, and I'm going to leave you with a couple of closing thoughts here, and this program will be officially over in just a moment. I'm going to go ahead and say a couple of things. Oh, ye, which are so fond of quoting from the Bible, knowingly within the public domain and without, for whatever reason, an outcry from your peeps, like the Freedom From Religion Foundation. I want to try to discover and delve into why that's so in the future. Why have you yet to unequivocally state, thou shalt not murder? Oh, ye that are so fond of the good book, Bernie Sanders and President-elect His Excellency, quote-unquote, Barack Hussein Obama, why can't you just come on and say, you know, thou shalt not murder? All right, closing point really quick today. Number one, well over a dozen murders take place every day within our nation's cities, greater than 200,000 or greater. So that's a mass shooting every day. When you extrapolate, ooh, there's a concept for the communist kiddies on their way to our communist Nazi socialist subjects on their way to obtain an Ivy League tradition. Well, that tradition might not be the correct word anymore, but perhaps diploma would be. So, thou shalt not murder. It's really not tough. It's kind of a cool, you know, it would be a nice thing to hear from our pastor-in-chief, if you will. Notice that I have not said that I believe our president hasn't the right to weave scripture into his or her speeches going forward, obviously. Whether on the battlefield of our inner cities, or the target of our embassies overseas, why is our leadership having such a hard time referring to a spade as, well, a spade? You know what, hearts are red. Why, whether on the battlefield of our inner cities, or the target of our embassies, or military installations overseas, is our leadership having such a difficult time referring to a heart as a heart? The heart is deceitfully wicked, the Bible says. Anyway, I won't go there. Don't string me up. If the quote-unquote free world goes the path of equating differing viewpoints, whether via speech, written form, or yes, even filmmaking, it will have set freedom on a course that can only lead to tyranny. I'm Dakota Lone Star. God save America. Good day.